This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Genesis. And now here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Genesis chapters 4 through 6.
Well, one day, Adam and Eve, they were in the family SUV. They had the kids in the back seat and they were driving down the road that ran right by the Garden of Eden. Well, they passed the angel with the whirling, flaming sword that was guarding the tree of life. And just about that time, Cain leans his head over the front seat and he says, "Daddy," he says, "why can't we live in that beautiful garden?" And that's when Adam turned around and told him, said, "Well, son, we could, but your mother ate us out of house and home." But it wasn't just Eve that ate the apple. You know that. It was Adam and Eve. They both were guilty. And because they ate the forbidden fruit and disobeyed God, they were forbidden to enjoy the garden of delights that God had planted for them. And they were driven out into a world where they would have to fend for themselves and battle the thorns and thistles and obstacles and grow their own food and eventually return to the dust from which they came. And with the sin of Adam and Eve, both the first family and all of their descendants since were sentenced to live in a fallen world. And the struggle begins in Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Now, a more literal translation of this, of the Hebrew text, appears in the Scofield Reference Bible, if you have one. It's in the footnotes. And the Scofield renders it, "I have gotten a man, even Jehovah." Recall back in chapter 3, verse 15, that God promised that a Savior would come into the world through the woman. You remember the promise, the seed of the woman would crush the authority of the seed of the serpent. It's possible that here is a declaration of faith on behalf of Eve. That Eve names her first son Cain, which means acquired, because she thought that he was the fulfillment of God's promise of a Savior. "I have gotten a man, even Jehovah." She believed that she had acquired God's promise when Cain was born and when she brought that baby home from the hospital. But that impression didn't last for long. For as soon as she got that baby home from the hospital, that illusion was completely shattered because Cain was a pain. Eve's baby, like all other babies, was self-willed and selfish. He threw temper tantrums when he didn't get his way. He pouted. He was rebellious and deceptive and envious. Have you noticed you don't have to teach your kids how to pout when they don't get their way? Have you noticed that? It comes natural. And Eve realized that Cain had come into the world just as self-centered as she and Adam had become. Guys, heredity is a problem. You see this double chin? Got it from my dad. Got insanity from my teenagers. And I got my rebelliousness, as you did, from my grandpa Adam. The old saying is true. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. Adam ate a bad apple, became a bad apple, and filled a whole family tree full of bad apples. You and I are two bad apples on that tree. Genesis chapter 4 is the classic example of the truth. The apple never falls far from the tree. For Adam's own offspring demonstrates the awful, destructive effects of his sin. It reminds me of the question, what did Adam and Eve do when they were expelled from the Garden of Eden? What were they doing when they left Eden? The answer is, they were raising Cain. That's what they were doing, raising Cain. And that's what mankind has been doing ever since. But Eve had a second son. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Cain wasn't a savior, far from it. Cain was a brat. And slowly, Eve became painfully aware of the implications of her sin, not only for herself and for her family, but for the entire human race. and her despair was seen in the name that she chose for her second son. Abel means vanity. Verse 2 tells us, now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a shepherd, Cain was a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. There is a church up in Minnesota that publishes a newsletter. And a recent issue of that newsletter contained an embarrassing blooper. It read, Bible study on Genesis. Were Adam and Eve really naked in the garden? Come and see for yourselves. Whoops. It is true, though, Adam and Eve were naked in the garden until they tried to cover up their sin by sewing together fig leaves. They figured that their redemption could be accomplished through the work of their own hands. They figured that just by turning over a new leaf, all would be right between them and God, but they figured wrong. Human effort, good works, charitable deeds, turning over a new leaf, religious rituals is never enough to blot out our sin and satisfy the demands of a holy God. God requires a sacrifice. You remember, the wages of sin is death. And so God killed an innocent lamb and covered Adam and Eve in fur coats. And I'm sure their two sons were privy to that background. When Cain and Abel came to offer their sacrifices, they were well aware of the truth that would later be spoken in Leviticus chapter 17. It is the blood that makes atonement. Well, Abel the shepherd, he sacrificed a lamb that God accepted. But Cain the farmer laid on the altar a horn of plenty that turns out, by the way, not to be enough. Cain assumes that his own achievements are going to merit God's blessing. Abel trusts in the blood of a sacrifice. Guys, there are two ways to come to God. Really, when you think about it, there are really only two religions in the world tonight. Only two religions. One says you can come to God on your own terms. You do this, you do that. You become deserving of God's favor. You work your way to God. That's one religion. There are a lot of other religions that fall in that category. The other religion, though, the only alternative to that is you can come to God on His terms, that God Himself died in our place, that God required a sacrifice and He paid the price that we could never pay. And through Him reaching down to us, we can be lifted up and we can be saved. Well, Abel trusted God and came to God on God's terms. Cain came to God on his own terms and offered the work of his hands as a sacrifice. And as a result, Abel was accepted, but Cain was rejected. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now God saw that Cain was upset. And so we're told in verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. The NIV renders that phrase, sin lies at the door, as sin is crouching at your door. Guys, sin is like a wild animal ready to pounce on its prey, and if not dealt with, it will wreak havoc and it will destroy. When Adam bombed in the Garden of Eden, an Adam bomb was detonated in the world. And the fallout of that atom bomb continues to this day. Sin sets off a chain reaction that leads to death. Sin is destructive. Did you know sin causes more sin until it's disarmed? And how do you disarm an atom bomb? You confess your sin. You turn from your sin. You promise Jesus to do whatever it takes to turn from your sin. And then you trust Him, not in your own efforts, but you trust in Him to reclothe you in His power and in His strength and in His forgiveness. Verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Again, sin causes more sin. Cain was prideful. He thought his best effort should be enough to please God. And thus, when his offering was rejected, his pride was wounded. And Cain grew jealous of his brother and lashed out in a rage and killed Abel. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the right answer for Cain and the right answer for you and me is yes, we are our brother's keeper. No man is an island. God expects you and me to care for the people around us. And God said, "What have you done?" The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. It cried out for vengeance. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Notice Cain never shows any repentance. He never apologizes to God. He's only sorry for himself. He's only pouting about his punishment. "Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive." It's me, me, me. Look at what's happening to me. "And a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." He just killed his brother and he's worried about somebody killing him. That's not repentance. That's being sorry you got caught, not sorry for what you did. Apparently, the ancient custom of avenging a brother's death may have dated back all the way to Cain and Abel. You kill one of my family, I'm going to kill you, so to speak. If that's the case, Cain is in big trouble because everybody alive at the time was Abel's little brother. Cain has got nowhere to hide. And so in verse 15, God spares his life. "And the Lord said to him, 'Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.' And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him." Here's the first tattoo. A mark on Cain. And I suppose it saved his life. But for the rest of his life, Cain will roam the earth a marked man. "Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." What an ominous expression. Cain bolted from God. He went out from the presence of the Lord. He separated himself from God and he strikes out on his own. And Cain's heirs, his descendants, will develop a society and a culture that are separate and apart from God. Cain went out from God and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Notice when you leave the presence of the Lord, the tendency is to nod off and fall asleep spiritually. You become vulnerable to danger. You too end up in the land of Nod, just nodding off, not being aware, separated from the presence of God, always puts you in the land of Nod. Now here's what had happened to Cain. Verse 12 tells us that in essence, God cuts off his green thumb, so to speak. In other words, he'll no longer be able to till the ground. He was a farmer, but God says, "This blood you've spilt on the ground is now going to spoil your attempts to till it." And then he makes Cain a vagabond. He'll wander throughout all the earth. It's interesting. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, write that down and go back and read it later. Hebrews 10, verse 7. Jesus says, "In the volume of the book, it is written of me." In other words, if you look closely, you can find Jesus on every page of your Bible. Did you know that? On every page of your Bible, you can find Jesus Christ. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, says Jesus. And here is a great example. Abel was a shepherd. He offered a lamb that had been accepted by God. He was hated for that sacrifice. He was hated without a cause, and he was killed by his brother. He died violently, and his blood now cries out from the ground. Who does that sound like but Jesus Christ? Jesus was the good shepherd. Jesus offered himself as the Lamb of God. He was hated without a cause, and who killed him? His own brother, the Jews, killed him. And now his blood cries out from the ground, but it calls out for mercy and for grace. And if Abel is a type of Jesus, who do you think Cain typifies? Well, the Jews. Think about it. They trust in their own righteousness instead of God's sacrifice. They become rejected by God. They become jealous of Jesus. They kill him. They're made fugitives on the earth. And everywhere they've been for the last 2,000 years, people have hated the Jews. Just as with Cain, those who hurt the Jews, this is interesting, will also receive a sevenfold vengeance. Before Jesus returns at his second coming, you remember what happens for those, how many years? 7 years before his return. It's a period of time called Great Tribulation, upon which God will judge the wicked world for their treatment of the Jews. Isn't that interesting? And during that time, guess who gets a mark? The Jews get a mark. Just like Cain, 144,000 Jews receive a protective mark on their forehead. Some amazing parallels here. Here, Jesus, Abel is a picture of Jesus, whereas Cain is a picture of the Jews. Verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And here's the question that Bible skeptics love to ask. It ranks right up there with how many angels can you get on the head of a pin. Where did Cain get his wife? And I really don't know why that causes people so much distress. Obviously, Cain married his sister. Tradition tells us, in fact, that Adam and Eve had 33 sons and 27 daughters. You could get lost in that family. There could probably be a brother or sister you didn't even know. Think about this. If you started out with 27 couples, and each of those 27 couples had 6 kids, within 100 years, you'd have a population of 40,000 people. Cain had plenty of women to choose from to pick his wife. It seems that marriage between brothers and sisters is not intrinsically evil. It becomes evil when it's prohibited by the law of Moses out of necessity. By the time of Moses, the human gene pool had been weakened, and for health reasons, God prohibited the practice. But apparently, in the beginning, the descendants of Adam and Eve were free to intermarry, and you see that in some of the early chapters of Genesis. Genesis chapters 4 through 6 is a valuable section of Scripture because it gives to us one of the very few pictures we have of the antediluvian world, or the earth before the flood of Noah. And the Genesis account tracks the development of two families. The family of Cain, which was a worldly carnal clan, and the family of Adam's son Seth, which was a faithful family. Well, Cain's family is listed first. And Cain built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, since God no longer allowed Cain to work the earth, he built a city. He becomes the first urbanite, the first city dweller. Cain becomes the first businessman. Unable to grow his own food, he now becomes a barterer. And he becomes a businessman and he begins to trade and sell. Verse 18 tells us, to Enoch was born Irad, which means wild man. His mom and dad had a problem. And Irad begat Mahujael, which means blot out the name of God. What an evil thought that was. Who would have named their child blot out the name of God? Notice next, and Mahujael begat Methushael, and that name means those who are of God are dead. Notice the names get increasingly evil and blasphemous, just as does the family of Cain. Remember, Cain chose to separate himself, to leave the presence of God, and he suffered the consequences. Verse 18, and Methushael begot Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself 2 wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah. One wife wasn't enough for Lamech. Oh, I'm too much of a man for just one woman. And so he married two, Ada and Zillah. Here is the originator of polygamy. And of course, Lamech's punishment was inherent to his crime. With those two wives, he got two mother-in-laws. Joke's on him. Hey, Lamech was guilty of some serious sin. He was the first person to tamper with God's rules concerning sex and marriage. The name Lamech means bringing low. And that's what Lamech did to the human race by engaging in polygamy. Well, verse 20 tells us, and Ada bore Jabal. Lamech had my three sons, Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. And all three names come from the root word, which means to produce or to invent. Lamech's three sons represent an age of technological advancement. Jabal was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Jabal was the first cowboy. He was the first cattle rancher. He was the first one to domesticate and grow animals for food. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of those who play the harp and flute. Jubal was the first musician. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, the first metal worker. So we have the first cattle rancher, we have the first musician, and we have the first metal worker. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. It's interesting. Evolutionary propaganda assumes that the ancients were primitive people and that they gradually advanced in knowledge and know-how. But apparently that's not true. All over the world, there are ancient stories of advanced civilizations that were lost in a global flood. The legend of Atlantis, if you're familiar with it, may be a faint recollection of a world before the flood. I believe that the antediluvian world featured a highly sophisticated society that in some ways it might even rival our modern world today. Just study the pyramids of Egypt or Stonehenge in England. There are examples of incredible technology that existed in the pre-flood world. We know that Adam had a brilliant intellect. He was able to name all of the animals in a short period of time. It's probable that his immediate descendants were also very smart people. Now here's the picture that we get of this pre-flood world. The antediluvians, they were advanced technologically, but they were corrupt morally and deviant spiritually. Listen to Lamech's boast in verse 23. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold." In other words, Lamech is saying, God avenges sevenfold, but if you mess with me, buddy, I'll avenge myself 77-fold. I'm tougher than God. That's what he's saying. How arrogant. Lamech was a leading example of this defiance that existed before God prior to the flood. And this is more relevant to you and I than you might think. Because Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man." Well, how was it in the days of Noah? Great technological advancement, and yet corrupt morally, deviant spiritually. That combination was what existed in the days of Noah. Jesus is saying that the end times will be characterized by that same combination. Great technology, but extreme arrogance and defiance against God. Can you think of a time where that scenario might fit?
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies. constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching.